Good morning again. You know, it's so amazing that Vera came all the way from Germany and she presented us a rock with a scripture verse on it. This morning's message is on a rock, having a rock solid foundation. So that's kind of amazing. I know Vera didn't know that, but it's wonderful. So look at that rock this morning when you think about this image and listen to Peter as he uses the image of a rock and a foundation in this reading this morning. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men and women to stumble, and a rock that makes them fail. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they are destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning I want to think about that, of having a firm foundation, of having a life built on the solid rock. First, I wanted to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this minister who had a horse, and he trained it. When he would say, "Praise the Lord," that meant giddy up. And when he said, "Hallelujah," that meant whoa. And so he was very proud as he'd go around to the neighbors, everyone, and he'd say, "Praise the Lord," and the horse would take off galloping, and he'd say, "Hallelujah," and it would quickly stop. Well, one day he was out riding, and the horse got spooked all of a sudden. It started charging straight for this cliff, the edge of the cliff, and the minister, in his panic, couldn't remember the right words. And so he was saying, "Bless God, amen, glory," and then at the last minute, he remembered it and said, "Hallelujah," and the horse came to a screeching halt right at the edge of the cliff, and he said, "Praise the Lord." I'm not sure if that relates, but it's nice to have a firm foundation, and it's nice to start with a note of humor. You know, Peter is called the Apostle of Hope. And when we look at Peter, we look at Peter's life, you know, he's someone that we can relate to, most of us. He's probably the most human, certainly the most human picture that we have of a disciple. He's passionate and he's impetuous and he's also faltering at times. And his faith is strong one moment, weak another. But Jesus formed and fashioned him into a rock because his life was built on the solid rock, which was Jesus. And Peter gives a message of hope and shares a message of hope that is powerful, and he wants to speak to a church that's undergoing persecution. And even though you and I might not be undergoing the kind of persecution that many Christians are around the world, we do face challenge and adversity, and we want to keep in prayer also those who are in persecution. So as you listen to these words this morning, as Peter talked last week, we went over having a life transformed by hope. This week he's talking about having a life that's built on the hope in Jesus Christ. And the first thing is to beware of sandy soil or false foundations. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived by the ocean. I love the water, so I've always wondered how I ended up in Indiana, but you know, that's the way God calls us. But vacation time, I tend to head towards the water. For a while, I lived in Virginia Beach, and one of the things that I enjoyed doing was I'd go out to these homes that are by the water and just sort of take a walk along there and look at these beautiful homes, and it's just amazing. My home was not near the water, so but it was nice to look at those homes. They're just beautiful homes right in the water. I thought, oh, gee, wouldn't it be great to live near the water? It's just so nice. You'd get out of your deck and you'd look out at the ocean, or you'd walk in the sand. You just sort of take a step out there. One time I went out just a week and enjoyed walking along this area, and it had actually been built up by a hurricane. Well, the next week there was a hurricane, And I thought, afterwards, I thought, I'm just going to go out and see what that neighborhood looks like. And I went out there, and the favorite homes that I had said, oh, I'd love that one, I'd like that one, I like that one, were all washed into the sea. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I thought, well, I guess it wasn't as good as I thought it would be. And I don't know if you've ever sort of watched the media when these mudslides are happening in California. I mean, we think we've got a lot of rain right now, and the flooding is not easy to deal with. But sometimes you look out at California, look at these beautiful homes, maybe you've seen them, and all of a sudden there's a mudslide, and this whole landscape is full of homes would go sliding down into the valley. You hope and pray that no one was in that house at the time. And it's not just homes. I mean, sometimes you see people's lives, and they're built on things that aren't solid foundation. You think about maybe the same millionaires that had their homes slide into that valley because of a mudslide, and they've got their homes or their lives based on fame or on fortune or on success and all those kinds of things. And those aren't the things that last for all eternity. And Jesus warns of this same kind of thing in this parable from Matthew chapter 7. Listen again to Jesus' words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it was built on the foundation of the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a crash. You know, that's really amazing, isn't it? The same sort of storm that I looked at in Virginia Beach one time, I'd walk along the edge of Atlantic Avenue, which is right along the Atlantic Ocean, and sometimes you'd see a hotel that went down from that hurricane. And it's amazing because structurally today, hotels are so strong that they can withstand a 20 or sometimes even a 30-foot wave. So it's not the power of the wave that brings those hotels down. What happens is the waves, the continued action of the waves comes in and they roll in and it carves out the sand beside and underneath the foundation until the foundation gives way and then the hotel comes down. And I think our lives are that way. I mean, we're all going to face some storms in life. And the question really is, what is our life built on? And that's a question for all of us this morning. We look around and sometimes you see people that their lives seem to be built on fear. And there's lots of things to be afraid of in the world. And I recall, and probably you do, in the weeks and months following 9/11, and sort of fear shook so many people. And of course, there are things to be afraid of. And today we see terrorist acts around the world. We know we're not immune to that. We know, too, that fear is not a way to build our life. Faith is a stronger foundation than fear. And we think of people that build their lives on material things. And, you know, I like nice things too. It's nice to have nice homes or nice cars or whatever, but you can't build your life on that. Those things won't last. Those things aren't the things that you could take into eternity. And you think other people, and it seems like they build their life on anger or hate or something like that, and that's sandy soil as well, or any of those things, success or fame or fortune. And all those things are like sand that's shifting, but Peter challenges us to build our lives on a rock-solid foundation, and he echoes those words of Jesus. So, for us today, beware of sandy soil and false foundations, and think about building our lives on a firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Peter knew that same imagery of the storm, and listen to what he says, and the first thing actually sort of leading into this, he has said just before this, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, experience God. That word is experience that he uses, taste. And experience that God is good. And knowing that, he goes on to say this, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. It reminds us that culture is not the place to put our stakes. And he goes on and he says this, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. And so Peter's using this imagery of a sacred house, sort of like a cathedral, a church that we're a living church, we're part of. And after all, the word church in the Bible is never used for a building. It's used for a family of faith, for a living people. So Peter's using this imagery, and he goes on, he says this, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that causes them to fall. Now, Peter is trying to challenge us to build lives that are built together on the foundation, the only one foundation that will last for all eternity to build our lives on, and that's Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. And you think about this imagery itself of this cornerstone. Now, today, if you look at most cornerstones, and we have one, if not more than one out here in the church. Now today a cornerstone is one of the stones that's put in maybe midway or sometimes even the last stone to be put in construction. And it's really sort of a marker or it's a memorial, right? We have the day that the construction started, the day the construction finished. We maybe have memory of the folks who helped put that together, and those are all great things. Sometimes we have some things inside that cornerstone. But at this time, construction was different. The cornerstone was different. It marked a corner of a foundation. Now, they had to make sure the foundation was level, but when they put that cornerstone in, it actually was the marker line to make sure the foundation was square. So all the angles coming off that stone really assured that everything else was square and solid, so they would look at that cornerstone and line everything else up by that. And Peter's challenging us that we need to not only build our lives on the firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, but we need to align our lives in every way, shape, and form so that we line up with Christ. And that's true of us today. Are we a people of grace and mercy and love? Are we extending forgiveness and grace to others? And that's a challenge, I think, that we all face in life. And are we building on that firm foundation? You think for a moment about Peter's own life and Jesus, when he had called Peter the first day, that he called Peter and he challenged Peter to become a fisher of men and to help change the world. And later on, in a very touching moment, a sort of pivotal moment in Peter's life, Peter confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Upon that rock I will build my church." And he changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter. Simon means shifting sand, shifting like sand. And Peter means rock. Rock solid. So Peter knew that experience because of the transforming forgiveness and power of Christ and his confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now Peter wants to make sure that when he's challenging the church today to build their life on the firm foundation and the stone, he doesn't use his name, which is in Greek. He doesn't use the word Petros. He uses the word Lithos to make sure they understand it's not Peter that they're building their life on. It's Jesus Christ. He wants to make sure that they understand that it's not him, but Jesus Christ. And in our own lives, I wonder, are we building on the rock solid foundation? Not our lives and not the shifting sand of others, but the only one true foundation, which is Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the final thing I think we need to challenge ourselves to is like Peter, to invite others to find that firm foundation as well, in a positive and beautiful and inviting way. You know, sometimes when you look at a nice home, firm foundation, a beautiful home, and people get these homes and nice neighborhoods, the first thing they do is to put up a wall. Sometimes they put up a wall even before they put up the home. Sometimes the wall in the neighborhood is the first thing, or the gate's the first thing. And I think sometimes in the church we do the same kind of thing. We want to put up a wall. We want to put up a gate. We want to keep people out. We want to make sure they all look the same as us and think the same as us. But I think Peter's inviting people to come on in and to taste and see that Jesus Christ is the one true foundation for all of life. And Peter would challenge us as a church to do the very same thing by opening our doors to everyone and by reaching around the world to sisters and brothers around the world. He uses some imagery here and about being a priesthood. And listen to what he says in verses 9 and following. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And you think of this imagery of a priesthood, and these are regular folks today. But what does a priest do? A priest intercedes on behalf of the people. A priest invites people to come and know God. And so Peter's saying, listen, whoever you are, you don't have to be a pastor. We're all ministers for Christ. We're all inviting people to Christ, and it doesn't matter what we do. It's how we do it that makes a mission and ministry. And wherever we are, whether we're a teacher or whether we're a plumber or a farmer or a factory worker, whatever it is, we can be inviting people to share in the goodness of God. And how do we do that? Well, we don't necessarily have to speak words, though we certainly can share in just our personal story, but sometimes we just model a life of Christ, a life of grace that shows and points the way to Christ. And for us, how are we doing that? A witness really just means to, just like in a courtroom, to tell what you have experienced yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that we demand everybody, you know, sort of conform to our exact experience, but it does mean that we can share that Jesus Christ touched our life in a powerful way, and we found a firm foundation for building our life on a life of hope and peace and love. And I love this to just think about for a moment. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. What a beautiful imagery. And so this morning when we're thinking about a life, and all of us do, how we build a life, I think about the sandy soil and the false foundations that are out there that are sometimes so tempting in life, and realize that the one true foundation that we build on is the rock-solid foundation that's Jesus Christ and nothing else. And we build on Jesus Christ as the firm foundation. That's a life that will last for all eternity, not because of us, but because of Christ Jesus. And then finally, to invite others to experience that faith as well. I'm going to close with this illustration and true story. I don't know. Any soccer fans out there? A couple. Any, you know, that we did, the women's, U.S. women's, have you heard? Yeah, thank you. Last Sunday, won the World Cup Championship against Japan 5-2. Nothing against Japan. But we also had, and all the women were outstanding, and it's great to see just people going crazy, painted with the American flag all over their bodies. Some bodies flew that flag better than other bodies, you know. There's a certain age where you want to just hold the flag and not paint it on your body, even though you can make a bigger flag. But in any case, one of the young women is just an outstanding soccer player and also a person of great faith by the name of Lauren Holiday, who is a Hoosier, by the way, interestingly enough. But she knows, as great as that stage is, has now been on three teams, she knows that as great as that World Cup stage is, that the success can be fleeting, and sometimes there's a win and sometimes a loss. Fortunately, there was a win. In fact, she scored one of the five goals. But listen to what she says about her faith in Christ. And I'm quoting her. She says this: every time I step foot on the field, I know that through my effort and play, I'm glorifying Him, Christ. He gave me the world stage to share His gospel, and that is what I hope to do. That was leading into the World Cup game. She goes on to say this: success is winning a gold medal. Success is being the best soccer player I can be. But the wonderful, wonderful thing about loving Jesus is it's not about me. And the spotlight isn't on me. So when I do step out of the field for that gold medal game or the World Cup, I get to play with freedom because I don't have to worry about how I score or if I score or what happens if we lose or if I make a bad pass. Because success isn't determined on that with Christ. Yes, I love to win, and I know that God loves when I win, but when I walk away, my identity is still the same. I'm still a follower of Jesus Christ, and in a loss or in a success, I can still be humble and give Him the glory. You know, that's living a life that is built on a rock-solid foundation, whatever the future holds. And so I challenge all of us to have a life just like that, a life built on the firm foundation through Jesus Christ, and invite others to do the same. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we think about the ways in which we can build a life, and all of us want to build a life. Sometimes we're tempted or distracted to look at the things that really don't last for all eternity. Some of them are perfectly good things, but they're not a thing to build a life on. You admonish us through your own words, through Jesus Christ, and through Peter's letter to church and to us as a church this day, to not be distracted by the things that do not last for eternity, but to build our lives on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Help us to do that. And so this morning we offer our lives and ask for your forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings and sometimes our distractions. We're reminded that our priorities are not always what they should be. But we ask for your forgiveness and grace and know that through Jesus Christ, who's given us His life on the cross, and showed us the path of life, even to resurrection and eternal life, we know that we're forgiven. We know that we're extended love and grace, and we know that we can build our lives on your forgiving grace and offer that to others. And so we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you.